The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Flypod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. We have the author of Hatter Madigan, Ghost in the Hatbox. I call it the Hat Box. I'm sure Frank Bedore does also. Frank, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark.
I guess I could say Hat Box, eh?
Well, yes, it's Hat Box. It stands for the holographic and transmutative base of extreme combat, extreme with an X.
Well, I don't know much about this, but after reading Hatter Madigan, it sounds like kind of a cool place. Now, we're taking a trip back in time, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We're going back to Wonderland, which Lewis Carroll invented 150 years ago. But my story takes place in the Millinery Academy, and of course a milliner is someone who makes hats, but in this case, their hat is their signature weapon, and it has magical properties, and it can transform into blades and then boomerang back in the form of a hat, because as we know, the hat often makes the man or the woman.
It's a top hat in a sense. I mean, it turns into blades. Can you pull a rabbit out of it?
Well, you know, there's no rabbit in my Wonderland. Lewis Carroll got that part of the story wrong. But in this case, the hat collapses like a magical hat, but then it's very martial. So it's a lethal weapon. So you have to go carefully with this weapon.
Somebody has to keep Wonderland safe. Is that correct?
Yes, I think it's the milliners. They protect Wonderland. They protect the royal family, the queen, but they also protect the other suit families. So in this world, there's the suit family of the hearts and the diamonds and the clubs and the spades, and they're all vying for power. It reminds me a little bit of Game of Thrones, which I'm a big fan of, but given that mine's a middle grade, we don't have the sex, and we certainly don't have that kind of violence, but nevertheless, I like the intrigue, and I like the manipulation, and I like the mystery.
Tell me who Hatter Madigan is for. It's kind of more of a young adult book, isn't it, or not?
Well, it's young. Well, there's two things. There's young adult, and there's middle grade, and they make the distinction based on language and age. So my book is 9 to 13, young, which is middle grade. A young adult is 13 to 18, and it can deal with subjects that are a little bit more, sexuality and more violence, like the Hunger Games. But when you're in a middle grade book and you're having 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th graders, it's more aspirational, it's more optimistic. You know, there's a lot of obstacles for the lead characters, but usually there's, you know, a satisfying, happier ending, or at least inspirational.
So does that really tell you that when I say I just love this book and I can't wait to read the next book in the series, that I've got maybe, I'm not that, my IQ isn't that high?
Well, absolutely. That's what it tells me. No, what's happened is the publishers, they want to position books. And when I wrote my very first book, The Looking Glass Wars, it was published in Germany as an adult book, in the UK as a children's book, and as a young adult book in America. So it's a way of helping parents and booksellers, you know, position certain books. And, you know, some books are specific for that age group. My books have always crossed over, and the adult readers from the Looking Glass Wars are reading Hatter Madigan and Ghost in the Hatbox, which is a prequel story an origin story. And the language is very, very close to the Looking Glass Wars, but I think thematically it's different, because it takes place in a school or an academy. So thematically it's dealing with self-identity, picking out your best friends, you know, bullying, the things that go on in school, but it's a really cool school with lots of action and adventure. So that also is designed for that middle grade audience.
Hatter Madigan, Ghost in the Hat Box, how close to the world of Lewis Carroll is this book?
Well, you know, Lewis Carroll had amazing sort of visual language and visual concept in his book. So what I did is, you know, take bits and pieces of that. So remember, they're card soldiers, or there's card men. Well, I turned them into card soldiers that are very, very specific and lethal. The caterpillar silk has magical properties, and I use those magical properties to test my heroes. Also, the story is a reluctant hero story, where they go on an adventure, and Lewis Carroll's work is very episodic. It was simply a jumping off place, with the premise being that Lewis Carroll met a real girl named Alice Hart, who is from Wonderland, and he promised to write her a book to help her find her way home, but he changed the story to fit the times, and he made a nice literary choice, and he sold a lot of books, but he betrayed this little girl's story. And so my take is, this is the real story that happened to Alice Hart, who was exiled after this violent coup. And the Mad Hatter is not mad at all. Matter of fact, he doesn't like tea in the least. And
he's that mad.
Yeah, exactly. So there's, I keep pulling away further and further from the source material.
Well, with Hatter Madigan, Ghost in the Hat Box, kind of introduce us to the characters in this book.
Well, Hatter, he's 13. He's been an orphan inside of the Millinery Academy with his older brother, Dalton. Now, Dalton, turns out, is the youngest bodyguard to be assigned to the Queen. And he's famous for it. So there's a big spotlight on Hatter when he starts school, which means a lot of the other cadets are interested in being his friend. And he's hanging out with these kind of cool kids, but it's awkward for him. It doesn't quite feel right, but he thinks he wants to be there when he gets in trouble and he goes to detention. And in detention, he meets this girl, Astra, who has crazy blue hair. And in the face of a lot of ridicule, she's the most optimistic person he's ever met. And he doesn't get it. He wants to understand that. There's another girl, Caldonia, who's really shy. Turns out she's the toughest cadet in the whole place. And then there's a third boy who's blind, and nobody thinks this kid is going to make it. They all think he's going to wash out. Well, these three underdogs become Hatter's closest friends, and they're the ones that solve the mystery of the ghost in the hat box.
You know, as I'm reading this, and I don't want to give anything away here in Hatter Madigan, Ghost of the Hat Box, but it seems like Hatter is kind of grouping with one group of kids, and my feeling is that maybe he really shouldn't be with that group. You'd probably have to read the book here to find out if he should, what happens if he goes on to befriend these people or not, and who he friends, if you will. But, you know, this book, so vivid. Mm. I mean, it's almost like you're reading this and that movie's playing in your head.
Right, right. Well, you know, I have a background in the movie business. I've produced some movies. I produced There's Something About Mary, and I'm working in a movie on a movie at Warner Brothers that's a big sci-fi. And so there's a certain language of film that I'm used to, and I think that I write in a particularly visual style, and I love that. You know, strong imagery comes to people's mind when they're reading my book. But, you know, my real intention is to create compelling characters and really test them against the plot. But when you're creating a whole other world, you know, there's a lot of world creation, a lot of logic and rules that you have to follow. And so some of the things that are visual in the world is a little shorthand so that you can play a movie, but you can move on. Cause I don't want to slow down the read. I want it to be a page turner. I want you to go from chapter to chapter and, you know, move through the book.
That was what I hated about this book, because when I wanted to go to sleep or I got tired, I had to keep turning the page.
Well, I'm not sorry about that.
All right. So as a person who works with movies and everything, probably not a director.
No, I've been a producer. Directing is that's a very particular kind of skill set that I'm not sure I'm ready to take on.
My guess is now, if I have my ducks in a row, that a director would take that script and they would be the one that would see that movie going in their head and put it the way that they want it.
That's right. The director makes all of these creative decisions. I mean, it's all the casting, with the casting decisions happen with the producer and the studio. But, you know, all of the decisions in terms of the costume and in terms of the sets and the look, they have the final say on what's in their mind. And matter of fact, on the cover of this book, it was done by this concept artist, Maciej. And Maciej worked with me on the movie that I'm putting together at Warner Brothers. And so he came in, he was brought in by the director, and he came up with all of these concepts. And there was numerous concept artists, but his art was the one that the director kept choosing. And I was looking at it and saying, you know what? That guy's is the best art. It represents the look and the feel of what the script is. And so I used him to do the cover of my Hatter book.
Yeah, the cover is amazing. Can you describe this picture?
Well, it is inside the Hatbox where they do this extreme combat, and they are holographic creatures, but they look very, very real. And so it's an image of Hatter. His back is to us. He's throwing his hat. It's starting to deploy into the weapons. There's this enormous Jabberwock, dragon, you know, dinosaur looking creature, and all three of those come together because I wanted to have a fresh look, something that people would recognize but hadn't seen before. And so it's Hatter battling this creature, and its wingspan is enormous. And if you take off the sleeve of the book, it wraps around on the hardback all the way, so you can see the entire inside of the Hatbox. And so that was a really nice touch. They don't do that very often unless they believe that your book is going to be successful and they spend a little bit of extra money. And then inside, as soon as you open it, you see the Millinery Academy, and it's this beautiful image, what looks like a hat with no top on it, and that's the Academy. So I was very happy with how those two pieces of art turned out.
I'm glad that you told me about that, because I never did take off the jacket.
Mm.
And I don't know that I would have known that, so that's really kind of cool. Do you have the original artwork at all?
Oh, yes, but it's digital. So I have pieces. I mean, what usually the digital artists do, well, they'll sketch something out, where they'll use pencil or some kind of ink marker, and then they'll add the digital component. So, you know, everything is done. So much of the work is done in computers now, and especially when you're working on movies. And this guy is a movie guy. He's doing the Avatar movie. He worked on Guardian of the Galaxy. He's right now working with the same director that I'm working with on Ghost in the Shell. Apparently he likes, you know, stories that have ghosts in them. So
when I watch older movies, I like to watch the credits. I was mm-hmm. taught that in school since I went for audio
right.
and video. And you should stay there and watch the credits roll, because those are the people that made it happen, and you should give them at least that much. In the older movies, I don't see as many people as I do today. Why is that?
I'm sorry, you don't see as many?
As many people in the credits from the older movies as I do today. I mean, today they just keep going on and on and on. And the older movies, they would have, you know, the production assistant, the gaffer, you know.
Oh, I think they have all those. They still do that. People leave the movie theater a little bit earlier. And remember, now with the big movies that we're doing, there are so many people that touch a film. But I will tell you a funny story about credits, because I was an actor for a short time, and I did a movie called Amazon Women on the Moon. And it was my first movie, and it was opposite Carrie Fisher. And I played her boyfriend, and she got a venereal disease from an agent, and she gives it to me, and I go blind. Okay, so that's the story. So this movie comes out, and I go to the theaters, and there's 150 different actors, there's all these episodes, and my episode's not in it, but they told me that they didn't cut it, and it's with Carrie Fisher. So the credits start rolling, and I was really disappointed. All the credits are rolling, and people are starting to walk out. And then as soon as people, like half the people were out, then they rolled my episode. So the whole episode was towards the tail end of it. So I was yelling, my friends, come back in. Here I am. And so, you know, I have my own nightmare story. So now I stick around no matter what for all the people's people credit, all the folks who worked on movie, all their credits, because I felt their pain.
That's funny. Now, Frank, you also had a co-writer on this, is that right?
Yeah, I had read a book, The Friday Society, and it's a terrific middle grade young adult novel, and I reached out to Adrian Kress, who's the author, and said, hey, I really liked your book, and we should do something. And I had an idea for us, which was a romantic comedy. So I was telling her the idea, and then she said, what else are you working on? I said, oh, I'm writing this middle grade book. She goes, oh, I love middle grade books. Oh, then I was telling her what I was doing with Hatter and what a story is, and I had written 11,000 words just for the syllabus for the school, and she's like, you have a syllabus of 11,000 words? And she goes, well, could I work on that? And I said, oh, well, let me send you what I have. And it just spoke to her, and she just understands middle grade specifically and the things that we were talking about thematically, what kids are dealing with and what they are going through. So I think we had a really great combination of world creation, you know, a strong plot, characters that really came to life, particularly some of the girl characters that she came up with that I feel are really strong and, you know, help the story cross over between, you know, for boys and for girls. So there's two really strong male characters, but there's these two girls that are very unique and have a beautiful voice. And I attribute that to Adrian and her contribution. So it turned out really nicely. And by the way, it's nice to, because when you're an author, it's like being a marathon runner. It's nice to be in a relay team and hand the baton back and forth.
So no writer's block here for you, I guess, right?
Well, you know, writer's block is a funny thing. What usually happens if there's writer's block is I jump ahead and start into a chapter, so I just don't write it linear. You know, I'll skip, and that will, you know, help, because then I'm working on something. So it's always trying to move forward. But if I do get stuck, you know, I just try and do a part of the story that I know.
You know, that's the first time I've ever heard that. What do you attribute that to? Works in the movies? Or?
Well, in the movie business, you're always, you know, you're shooting out of order. You're writing scenes for actors. You know, you're constantly jumping from place to place. You know, you have different locations. You just can't do it in a linear fashion. It almost never happens. So I think I'm used to thinking like that. And so I write like that.
That's kind of a neat way to write. Now, there's a different way that I heard somebody writes also, and they will get these ideas and put them in a shoebox, and then one day they'll dump the shoebox out. They kind of form the story that way, I guess.
Oh, that's clever. I actually have a friend of mine. His name's Eric Laster, and he has a book called Static, and we've been on tour together, and he brings that up. What his trick is when he gets stuck is every morning he writes just a paragraph of a new idea and then puts it aside. He doesn't sweat it, and then he does that for a couple of weeks, and then he looks back, and if anything speaks to him, then he works on it. So, you know, that's not a bad approach. And by the way, Static, which is a young adult novel, it's a murder mystery coming of age story, is terrific.
All right, now with your co-writer, Did you really do this in person, or was it through email, or how did you?
Oh, right. Not in person. Yeah. She lives in Toronto. I live in Los Angeles. And, you know, these days it doesn't really matter where you live. I mean, I saw her recently. We were on the book tour and we did some television shows and some radio together. But no, we would just send chapters back and forth. So she would work on something. I would work on something and we would just come together.
You'd kind of exchange maybe ideas like, hey, I'm working on this. She might send some ideas. You might send some to her. Is that
right? We would do that in the beginning. But once we had that set, then it was just about our assigned writing. So what are you writing? What am I writing? And then at the end, when it was all finished, then I gave it a polish or a kind of, you know, my signature, you know, on it. So it turned out really well. And we are working on the second book together, which is called Diamond in the Rough. That might not mean anything except that, you know, it's a sort of famous saying, but it plays to the Diamond family that's established, and they're a little bit villainous. So there's intrigue around it. And what's funny is when you come up with a title, how exhilarating it is and comforting it is to at least you have the title. I got to come up with the rest of the story, but I got the title.
Hatter Madigan, you know this book, and I mentioned this to you even before, so visual, so very, very visual. I mean, we have the father's hat, who the father and mother pass away early on the book. That's not giving that much away, I guess.
Well, they're presumed to be dead, but they may just be missing. Ooh. So that's a thread, excuse the pun, because my world is all about weaving together hats, but that may reveal itself later. But there's certainly backstory to the parents that come into the plot, the overall plot.
Well, you know, Hatter, he is in possession of his father's hat. Dalton gives him that hat, and he says, here, this used to be father's, and now he has something basically of the family. It's a ratty old hat, a little bit too big. I mean, he puts it on, it falls over his head and everything. We see an older man who has these glasses. He's got that white little bit of hair on top of his head. And you have the silkworm. You know, you can almost see these things in your mind's eye, especially with the different colored threads. How difficult is that to make a book so visual when it's in print?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know if it's difficult as much as it is adhering. What's difficult is adhering to certain rules so that the reader can suspend disbelief. So there's a consistency that needs to happen, and then the reader can let their imagination run wild and go with the story. But the caterpillar silk and the color of the caterpillar silk you're talking about, they all have very specific magical properties. And so if you think of blue caterpillar silk as transformative, then that becomes very visual for the hat. If you think of orange as strength and you weave that into something, then you can see that the property has the strength. Or green has to do with regenerating. So it's a healing property. And so sometimes if you're injured, green caterpillar silk is woven around your arm, for instance. Well, that's a pretty, those colors are vibrant. That's a pretty visual idea. I would describe the same way in the book as I would for a movie, for the director then to take and give it to the concept artist and to the production team and then film that. So I think what you're seeing is sort of a combination of being very specific in terms of what it is on the page, but then a visual language that I'm comfortable or that I've grown up in, you know, expressing the concept.
Hatter Madigan, Ghost in the Hatbox. Not only do I want to read the rest of the books in this series, but I'm so interested in your writing. Let's find out what you've written before that I might be able to grab a hold of.
Oh, okay. Well, I started with the Looking Glass Wars trilogy, which is three books that came out through Penguin and Scholastic. And then I was, well, on the first, my first book tour, I was in the UK and I met this boy in a school and he wanted to ask me a question. He was very eager. And when he had his opportunity, he said he was really mad at me. And I said, why are you really mad at me? He goes, because Hatter Madigan, as an adult in your book, you don't follow his 13 years in our world searching for Alice, and you need to go home and finish the book. And I thought that was so funny. But when I got on the plane, I started thinking about that. I said, oh, there are a big gap of time. Why don't I do a graphic novel that follows Hatter? So I did the adult Hatter in our world searching for Alice for 13 years, which takes him all around the planet. Matter of fact, he finds himself in the middle of the Civil War, and he meets Lincoln because Lincoln's a connoisseur of beautiful hats. So that was a 6-book series. And then I wrote a book from Alice's point of view when she was orphaned in England, and it was a picture book. So most of the books that I've all of the books I've published or have been published are all within this Looking Glass Wars Wonderland universe. But I am writing a murder mystery currently, and it's been fun to go off on another path and another set of characters. But, you know, Hatter speaks to me, and I'm going to keep writing as long as people are still reading it, because it's really not a book unless someone's reading or listening to it. So,
Frank, if I want to find out more about Hatter Madigan, Ghost in the Hat Box, your brand new book, brand new series, other books, what maybe you're up to and everything, I'm sure you have a website.
I have a website, my name, frankbedore.com. I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Tumblr. And, if you just Google me, you'll find my world. It's pretty expansive. But, frankbedore.com, you can find all the up-to-date, most recent information.
Now, I was talking to Gary Puckett of theflypod.com, and he was telling me about all the social media anymore that authors are on. It's kind of like almost crazy, isn't it?
It is. It is pretty crazy. So yesterday I was at a school at Turkey Foot, and they all are on Instagram. But then they start saying, why are you not on Snapchat? Like, I can't keep up. And then they said, do a selfie. But there was 110 kids, and I was trying to do a selfie, and they all sort of mobbed me to be in this selfie. And then they said, okay, well, post it, but promise me you'll follow me. And I thought, what is the big deal? They really want to be followed back. I mean, they really want to. And so it's a great way to communicate with your readers and with folks. And they want that personal connection. And so I'm trying my best. I'm not the savviest, but I do have numerous accounts. And matter of fact, I actually have some accounts from my characters. My fictional characters have their own Twitter and Tumblr accounts. So you can see their art. So some of their dialogue. So I've experimented with that too, but Snapchat. Apparently that's my big downfall. Snapchat. I'm not on Snapchat.
Oh, there you go. Well, Hatter Madigan, Ghost in the Hat Box is the brand new book by Frank Bedore. Frank, thanks a lot.
Oh, it was really a pleasure. And I love how often you say the title. That's very charming. And thank you for having me on, Mark. It's been great to talk with you.
Well, Frank, let me say it one more time, because I want to say that, Hatter Madigan should be in every kid's library. I mean, this is a fantastic series. Ghost in the Hat Box, book one of the series. You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Frank Bedore, author of Hatter Madigan, Ghost in the Hat Box. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.